Driver, we're clear.
Friends, and welcome to this week's episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. I'm Jason. Across from me is Will.
Hello, friends.
And next to both of us is Michael.
Hello.
If you'd like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, and hang out with us on our Patreon-exclusive Slack channel, become one of our Patreon saints at patreon.com/TFPpodcast. All of our Patreon saints get access to two additional shows, TFP Extra,
Extra,
and Disney Classics. Each week on TFP Extra,
Extra,
we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances, and a topic that may or may not be Disney related. On the monthly Disney Classics series, we watch and discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. Next up is Fantasia, and I think we're recording that this week, next week.
Yep, we're going to do a watch-along. By the time most people hear this, we will have already done the watch-along.
Yes.
We will let the Slack channel know officially soon.
Yeah. Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site, so sign up at patreon.com/TFPpodcast today and get more of The Florida Project. In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the latest news. Will will take us on a trip down Main Tweet, USA, and then we'll reach deep into our quiver and pull out 10 questions about Hawkeye on Disney Plus. All that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
There are two things I didn't like about that.
That was better than my original one, where you'll quiver with excitement when
Oh, that's better! It's
a small topic. After all, it's a small topic. After all, topic.
Small topics. Breaking news. Every cast member at the Disney parks can now work from home with the equipment needed for their jobs to be provided by Disney. Who do you hope moves in next door to you?
Monorail driver.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be boring. Yeah. All you'd see is just, I can't pantomime it.
Yeah, but they could easily let you drive and no one would know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Never mind.
Be like, they have like
Where would Disney set up the monorail to go to? They may set it up to go to Disney World from next door to our house. Monorail's a good one.
That would be a long trip.
Disney provides the equipment needed.
You know what I learned today about the monorails on Reddit?
What?
I don't trust the answer already.
It makes sense. Tell me if this doesn't make sense. Okay. So when they built the monorail, they poured the concrete and stuff in like Washington State and drove it across the country, the beams.
Mm-hmm.
When they got to Epcot, they did it in Florida, and it has a different kind of concrete that's not as smooth, and that's why the monorail becomes bumpy when you're going to Epcot.
Hmm. Huh. Okay. Interesting. So,
I don't know if that's true, but I read that, and I was like, oh, it is more bumpy when you go to Epcot.
Yeah, maybe.
That's that Florida concrete, apparently.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Yep.
I was stealing from the first thing I thought of would be the Mickey, the guy who plays Mickey in Fantasmic. You see him in a green screen in the backyard just running around pretending to shoot the dragon and stuff.
Yeah.
And then pretending to disappear and he just falls to the ground. Uh-huh. Then I thought, like, you know what would be funnier than that? Those tumble monkeys you like in Fantasmic. And you just see them just in the backyard once a night. Like, there they go again.
On a boat. Like there's a boat in
there's
there.
There's just a green trailer that goes around the backyard.
Goes around their house.
It doesn't have to, but, you know, for realism.
Yeah. Mine is the...
And then you see a dopey fall into the grass, too.
About a Tinkerbell.
I wonder if they're going to fix the railings.
I think they did.
Even more secure now. But, like, those cruise ship, like, plexiglass barriers.
There may be dividers in between each one of the characters. Mine would be the corndog cart people from Disneyland. They just move their corndog cart right next door. I'll go over there every day for lunch for, you know, a good 2 years and then I'll die.
Okay. Fair enough.
Too much corn dog.
Yeah. There was that statistic of how many minutes off your life a hot dog takes.
Yeah, it was like 38.
That seems fair.
I don't buy that.
Oh, no, you don't buy it. Of course. No. How could it's like that spider, you know, statistic. You swallow so many spiders in your lifetime or whatever. And the guy who made it up literally is like, oh, I made that up. I don't know.
Also, without context of that, it's meaningless because does like eating lettuce take years off your life? So it could. It could take like 17 years off your life just by the fact that you ate something. So who knows? That's why when you have facts, you need to have context before you believe
them. Boy, I tell you, the more you know.
What Marvel character should get a Disney Plus show? It can be a current MCU person or entity, or someone who hasn't yet made their big screen debut.
Crocodile Loki.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or the dog from Pizza Dog from Hawkeye. Any of like the animals.
Like an animal team.
Yeah. Can they talk?
Yeah, would they be able to talk?
No, we get like subtitles.
Okay.
Not a Look Who's Talking situation.
Oh, yeah, I guess it could be like a... I don't want to see their mouths move talking.
So Look Who's Talking. Yeah. I'd get on, Bruce Willis has to voice everybody. That's what I would say. My answer is Bruce Banner, but just acting as the psychiatrist like he was in Iron Man 3, listening to Tony. Mm-hmm. So for different other MCU, very minor MCU characters.
Oh, that's nice.
I mean... No offense to Wong, but Wong will be in on a few episode arc talking about everybody just
takes him
for granted.
He's been in a lot of movies now.
I'm the Sorcerer Supreme and nobody ever listens to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Then you find out he's really not the Sorcerer Supreme. He just has been telling everyone he's the Sorcerer Supreme.
Fine. You know?
Wanda's the Sorcerer Supreme.
I don't believe that.
Maybe.
No, I think it'd be funny. We need another like comedy MCU show.
Yeah. Along those same lines, I want like the damage control show that I think we were supposed to get at one point about the people who were just who their job was to clean up after the
it's the office
the office MCU. But
isn't that those people at the beginning of Spider-Man Homecoming?
Yeah, but they're mean.
Yeah,
the show that I want is a comedy show.
Like it's Lower Decks.
Yeah, it's they're talking about nonsense while they're I don't know dragging dead Chitauri's off.
Are you supposed to be touching that thing? I don't know, man. They don't. I'm making minimum wage.
Hey, look at this glowy thing. And then hilarity ensues.
Where are we going for lunch?
Yeah.
Shawarma.
All right. You've been caught doing a Walt Disney World crime of some sort. Examples would be cutting in line, not moving all the way down in a theater, thinking Dole Whips are just fine, etc. While the crime seems not that serious, you face 5 years in the jail cell in the Utilidors at Magic Kingdom. What is your crime, and which attraction's cast members would you want to serve as your jury?
So it has to be an extreme crime if you're going to get 5 years.
Nope.
In the trash cellar. Yeah. The Utilidors are horrible.
Yeah.
They smell real bad.
Not real bad.
It was real bad.
It smelled fine.
It's been 10 years since we've been there.
It was the best smelling smell I've ever smelled.
Okay. So. Your smeller's off, first of all.
You take that back.
How do you guys remember the smell of the Utilidors?
I remember two things about the Utilidors. It smelled, and our tour guide for Keys of the Kingdom got real emotional about the picture of Roy.
Oh, yeah,
Disney.
Did a little skit.
Like, 2 weeks later. All right, enough, man. I smell trash. And that lady's on her break. Let's not get emotional over an black and white 8x10 that's been sitting in a bad frame for 40 years. But hey, if this is your big break.
So is that your crime, not being
reverent
enough?
Yeah, I'm not emotional about
that 8x10.
Disney, the creation of Disney World stories.
No, not even that. Specifically that picture.
Yeah. That does nothing for me.
Jail.
They caught you not looking up at the apartment at the top of the firehouse as you leave the Magic Kingdom.
The Disneyland one.
Yeah.
Actually, I want that to be my crime. You know who I want to be my jury?
Who?
The Jungle Cruise skippers. I'm getting off of everything that's dumb. Because this is all ridiculous.
Yeah.
Or they'll sentence me to 10 years and make a pun out of it. I don't know. Either way, it'll be fun.
Okay. Michael?
So my crime would be on Big Thunder Mountain when I try to reach for that possum, actually touch it once.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, you can't do
You're
that.
You're not supposed to do
Keep
that.
Keep arms, legs, feet, and hands inside the vehicle.
But the jury will be made up of Big Thunder Mountain cast members, and I'll sway them by my love of Big Thunder Mountain.
What if they don't love it as much as you do?
Well,
it's a calculated risk, Michael.
That is a calculated risk.
Yeah.
But they're the only ones that would care enough.
Okay.
Out of cast members, I would think.
They're putting you under the jail for touching outside of the ride vehicle on a roller coaster. A roller coaster type attraction.
Or they would know that the possum was hung a little too low because they're used to cleaning it. And stuff.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness, Michael. Keep your arms, legs, feet, and hands inside the vehicle.
Where is this possum?
I don't even know.
I know of a possum in Splash Mountain.
You pull my hand down every time I reach up to try to touch it. It's when
he doesn't know what you're trying to touch. Like, keep your hands.
It's when like you go through that water town, like the beginning of it. There's like these possums hanging on the tree, and they like flip over when you go under. And so I always try to touch their tail or whatever.
I'm always looking in that town.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
see, the Big Thunder Mountain cast members will be so excited that I noticed the possums.
Yeah. No, they'll be mad at you because they may have to clean up your carcass one day for getting your arm ripped off, like in Star Wars.
My crime is in the Rome burning scene at Spaceship Earth.
Mm-hmm. Spray for breeze or something.
Fire extinguisher.
Huh. Sir, there's no real fire here. I don't know. I smell
it something. Smells like it. Huh. That smells worse than the Utilidors.
That does not smell worse than
trash.
It does.
It's suffocating.
Trash.
It's suffocating.
It is not suffocating.
It's suffocating.
You guys are so dramatic.
I am terrified that I will be stuck. As much as I want to be stuck in Haunted Mansion in that air conditioner hall,
yeah,
is as much as I don't want to be stuck in the smoke room in Ep.
Spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth, thank
you. It is an Ep.
Yeah.
Caught.
And then I would have the cast of Muppets 3D.
Say it right.
As my 3D. As my...
Except it's just going to be Statler and Waldorf.
No, the people on the screen too.
Okay.
It's a theater show, Will.
Mm, that's true.
And
the penguins.
Because at least that would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to have to go to go through a jury trial, at least somebody should make it entertaining.
Let's get some hijinks.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. That's it for small topics.
Thanks, Jason. Those are some great small topics.
Thank you. I was very proud of them.
News. Here are four news items to discuss this week about Walt Disney World and beyond. Number one, Toy Story Land is expanding this year at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Disney has announced that the previously announced table service restaurant coming to Toy Story Land will open later this year at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Originally planned to open in 2020, the Roundup Rodeo Barbecue will be located near the entrance of Toy Story Land and will be a table service restaurant.
Why didn't it open in 2020?
There's some things going on.
Mm. Cheapek.
It takes a long time to cook barbecue.
It does, if you're going to do it right.
Yeah. That's been smoking all
low
this time.
And slow.
Real slow.
2 years.
Mm, there's a ring around that pork butt.
Disney says, in this unique, fun, family-friendly dining experience, guests will enjoy delicious barbecue fare while surrounded by a kaleidoscope of toys, games, and playsets that Andy has brought together to create his one-of-a-kind rodeo. Stepping into the lobby and waiting area, guests experience firsthand what it feels like to be one of Andy's honorary toys before progressing into two larger dining room spaces where Andy's rodeo takes place. Here, the rodeo will be in full swing with Western Town and train station playsets mixing with surprising, playful details like some fan-favorite Pixar characters as they've never been seen before, end quote. So I'm glad this is still happening. I mean, the building's been there for a while. Like, you can see it when you walk into Toy Story Land.
Yep. I've always felt it's a weird choice, barbecue, for this restaurant, but I'm excited to see inside because I love everything that they've done in Toy Story Land.
Me too. I think it's going to be fun.
And that's not all coming to Toy Story Land, for Disney has also announced a new gift shop coming to Toy Story Mania. According to Disney, quote, Andy discovered Jessie's Trading Post playset tucked away in the attic and is bringing it downstairs to set up shop, full of the coolest toys and finest souvenirs handpicked by the rudinest, tootinest cowgirl, end quote. The new shop is likely to replace the temporary store that opened during 2019 in the exit corridor of Toy Story Mania.
That's nice. Toy Story Land needs a toy store.
Let me translate this for you. We forgot to put a shop in Toy Story Land. Who did it?
Who?
Who?
Both Roundup Rodeo Barbecue and Jesse's Trading Post will open in later 2022 with a specific date to be announced, though I would be surprised if it's not open for the summer season.
Well, see, you're putting in your own editorial.
Yeah, because the barbecue place is done, right?
I mean, the,
it seems
the building.
Like the building.
Yeah.
The facade is not.
Yeah. We have a...
Or the facade.
the facade.
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure situation, I think.
Oh, it's, where it's been done for a while.
It's been ready. Or close enough.
It's possible, yeah. Well, they must be waiting to staff it.
Maybe they're just really smoking a lot of meat.
Maybe. It's just such a weird choice to me. But people love it. Love that flame tree barbecue.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Well, that's not all, because lastly, Disney will be expanding Woody's Lunchbox in an effort to address the lack of shade and seating in Toy Story Land.
Nice.
With new construction at Woody's Lunchbox. As of today, when we record, WW Magic reports that construction walls are up at the rear of the seating area for the quick service eatery, and a new structure looks likely to be covered seating area behind. So you can see like pictures of it. It definitely looks like a covered seating area.
Get some fans up there. You know what's perfectly adequate? That seating area on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
And it's just fans.
It's large.
Yeah. And you know I like an air conditioner, but that one's perfectly fine.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
I mean, the Indiana Jones stunt show is still mildly comfortable in the dead of summer.
Yeah.
Because of those big fans and the shade.
Dude, what if you your next door neighbor worked on the Indiana Jones stunt spectacular?
Oh, that would be fantastic.
You just see him rolling around in the backyard.
Let me update this.
He's just, he's the one that falls off the tallest building. Yes. So just six times a day, you just see him jump off the top of his house.
Was it last week I did my trip review quickly?
Yes.
And I said I did the Indiana Jones stunt spectacular, and they didn't do the whole final scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was not part of the changes that they made to the show. That was just a thing that happened that day, apparently. So,
interesting.
According to
you got the abbreviated show?
According to my 30 seconds of research.
The weather show?
But the weather was fine. I don't know what was going on, but we didn't get the whole final scene. So it was still entertaining. It was like 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Maybe some of the people were out with COVID.
Maybe. I don't know. It would be pure speculation at this point.
Understudies. A lot of that's happening at Broadway now. They're having to call in people.
On Broadway.
A few weeks ago, they flew in somebody from Chicago to play Elphaba in Wicked. She's been a software engineer for 7 years, played her.
Were her arms tired?
Yeah. No, she rode on a broom. She's a witch.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Number two, Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse take a new stroll through Walt Disney World. Disney announced...
Oh, I get it. Okay. It's like, what are you talking about?
Disney has announced new Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse themed strollers available at the Walt Disney World theme parks. The new strollers continue to feature the same physical shape and features as the outgoing models, but with a new visual character design featuring Mickey and Minnie. Both single strollers and double strollers remain available. Pricing remains the same for a single stroller at $15 per day or $13 per day for a length of stay purchase. A double stroller has increased by $1, is now $31 per day or $27 per day for a length of stay purchase. So I saw pictures. They look cute.
They do.
I still remember the old blue metal ones from the early 80s.
As a ute.
Yeah.
I probably rode in one of those.
Seems hot.
They're metal with blue fabric.
Yeah. Because back then you didn't bring your own stroller.
No.
I doubt. I don't know. Or they were all like the umbrella type
strollers. You didn't have as many
strollers.
Yeah, back
then people didn't have nice strollers. Yeah.
It is still so impressive to see somebody have one of those giant strollers and then press a button and do a thing, and then it's just like the size of a suitcase.
Yeah.
It's like a transformer.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Stroller technology has come a long way.
It absolutely has. I want to see what happens next.
Do you think a stroller transformer would be a Decepticon or an Autobot?
I don't know.
It would be an Autotot.
Ah.
Or a Totobot. Tautobot.
Tautobot. Yeah, yeah, that's better.
Number three, more pre-COVID experiences.
Decepticot.
What?
It's pretty good too.
What?
Decepticot.
Oh, Decepticot. Tot.
Epcot.
Number three, more pre-COVID experiences and entertainment returning to Walt Disney World. And what has become a recurring entry in the news segment, more experiences and entertainment are returning to Walt Disney World.
Optimus cries.
Starscream, you just keep the regular name.
I'll work on something for Megatron. I'll let you know later.
Starting this week, Kevin from Up is returning to Disney's Animal Kingdom at the character landing on Discovery Island. Kevin originally debuted at the park in February of 2019 as Up, gained a growing presence in the park, with senior wilderness explorer Russell and Doug greeting guests on Discovery Island and appearing in the reworked bird show Up, A Great Bird Adventure. But since the park reopened from the COVID-19 shutdown, however, Up was removed from the bird show and Russell and Doug have not yet returned.
Mamatron.
Yeah. Okay.
Also returning to Disney's Animal Kingdom this week is Viva Gaia Street Band, bringing their daily high-energy Caribbean street party to Discovery Island.
Oh, I like them. They're fun. Like, that's fun to sit in that little area. Yeah, they're
like across from Flame Tree Barbecue.
Great time.
Oh, yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
The six-piece group mixes live music and dance for a 20-minute party where guests can join in the fun. Shows occur hourly from 10:45 a.m. with the last show starting at 5:45 p.m.
They have the steel drum.
Yeah, and they play the Shakira songs from Zootopia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, good. I'm glad they're back.
That's the best piece of news yet.
And over at Epcot.
Take that, barbecue.
And over at Epcot, more character meet and greets are returning to World Showcase and World Celebration also this week. Donald Duck will return to the Mexico Pavilion, appearing in the outdoor meet and greet location on the right-hand side of the pavilion. And at the Imagination Pavilion, Vanellope and Joy return to Imageworks. As with all returning meet and greets, currently there will be no direct contact between the characters and the guests, and both locations will open at 10 a.m.
See, meet and greets are like made for me now. We don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
I just want the picture. I want to move on. You don't need to do your thing. Just, it's fine. You could be a statue for all I know. It's fine.
Could be.
Like at the Lego store.
Vanellope's the Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
Princess Vanellope. Von Schweetz.
Ah, yes.
She's a Disney princess.
Okay.
That's the show we still need, though, by the way.
Oh, yeah. All those princesses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know who else also a princess?
Who?
Who?
The Aristocats.
No.
Meow.
Some of them, at least.
I don't think so.
Which brings us to number four, Disney's Aristocats coming to live action.
Perfect.
Moving on.
So like Lady and the Tramp most recently, a live action adaptation of the classic animated film The Aristocats is in early development at Disney, according to Variety. Peter Rabbit, director Will Gluck, and Onward writer Keith Boonin are set to pen the script, with Gluck also producing via his Olive Bridge Entertainment banner. The original 1970 film follows a family of aristocratic cats, Mother Duchess and her three kittens, Berlioz, Marie, and Toulouse, living in a luxurious life in Paris. But when their owner's butler finds out that the cats are set to receive a massive fortune, he kidnaps them and abandons them in an unfamiliar land, the country.
Aww.
The Aristocats then must befriend an alley cat named Thomas O'Malley to help them get home before the butler steals what is rightfully theirs. Directed by core Disney animator Wolfgang Reitherman, the original voice cast included Phil Harris, Ava Gabor, Hermione Baddeley, Dean Clark, Sterling Holloway, Scatman Crothers, and Roddy Maude Roxby. The Aristocats was a box office success, grossing a total of $191 million worldwide. And it's also well known for its musical numbers, including Everybody Wants to Be a Cat and the titular theme, The Aristocats.
You know, this is one of the major reasons that we don't have a butler.
What?
Is because they may try to steal the fortune that we're going to leave to our cat.
Oh.
To our cat?
Yeah. Just one of the reasons we don't have a butler. There are other reasons.
Okay.
This sounds delightful. I'm very excited because I really like what they did with Lady and the Tramp with the live action quote CGI dogs, because they used real dogs and CGI.
Yeah, CGI. I'm excited for when Aristocrats or Cats comes up on our Disney classics.
I think the animated one has some problematic stuff, but I don't remember what that is. So
Siamese cats, I believe, were an issue.
No, that was Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they were an issue.
They were an issue. Yeah. They were changed for the live action one. They no longer sang the song.
Good.
and did the head.
I really thought that was in the Aristocats. That's as much as I know about the Aristocats. Yes.
Have you seen the Aristocats?
Once, like whenever it came on video the first time.
Yeah. Wasn't there a joke about that on the Slack channel a week ago or so? It's like, I don't know. Like if you know this, you were born in the 80s or the 70s, like the Aristocats. Otherwise, nobody's seen it.
That must have been when I saw it, or the early 90s, maybe.
In the Dark Ages.
Yeah. Looking at you, Black Cauldron.
And just like the box office of the Black Cauldron, that is it for news.
That was Take that, good. Black Cauldron.
That was some good news, Michael.
Tweet.
All right, this week, Main Tweet USA is taking us back to the island of Motunui for a new Moana series coming to Disney Plus.
Yay!
Which I think I knew this was happening, but I forgot it was happening.
Yeah. But now we're excited about that water based attraction.
The big water fountain. If they don't have a water bottle refill station inside this attraction,
we riot.
We are going to riot, Michael.
You don't want
to
drink the magic water of Motunui.
I want to drink the magic water of Motunui.
100%. 100%.
You will no longer be able to speak for this podcast.
You guys are going to have egg on your face when you see how awesome this is. And then I'll have egg on my face when I see it's not awesome.
Throw eggs at you for not letting me drink magic water.
Guys, guess what?
What?
I'm going to go ahead and announce it now. I just rolled the dice for what the next Disney classic is going to be.
Yeah.
Aristocats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I just hit it one time. I didn't hit it multiple times like I normally do, just one time.
What if it had been Fantasia 2000?
I would have rolled the dice again.
Yeah, because we can't do two in a row.
At least 5 years.
Jason wanted to do two at the same time.
Yeah, I was on board with that too originally until I saw that Fantasia is over 2 hours and then Fantasia 2000 is at least an hour and 15 minutes. And that's a lot of music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You can put it on during work though.
Yeah, but
we're going to be able to talk about it.
We'll hear about it when you tell us about it.
Walt Disney Animation Studios' David G. Derrick Jr. Has been named director of the upcoming musical long-form series Moana for Disney+. Derrick, a respected story artist in the industry, first joined Disney Animation in order to work on the Moana feature film, and in doing so, reconnected with his family's Samoan roots. He was deeply involved in the storyboarding of some of the film's most iconic moments. Quote, working on Moana was a gift personally and professionally, says Derrick. The film Moana caught and shared the spirit of Polynesia with the world. I am honored to continue her story and to celebrate the rich and beautiful cultures of the Pacific Islands. Derrick joins Oscar-nominated Moana producer Osnett Schurer on the series. Quote, Dave's great story instincts, his visionary cinematic style, and his deep love and commitment to Moana and the Pacific Island cultures that inspired her world make him a perfect director for the series. As Derrick and his story team are in development, the recently announced new Walt Disney Animation Studios Vancouver, which will be the production home for the series, is ramping up their staffing as the studio nears its official 2022 opening.
I had no idea.
Yeah, you love Vancouver, too.
I do love Vancouver, from what
I hear.
Yeah.
So now you got one more reason.
Yeah.
That and the C-Dub shows.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, they are fine. No, Superman and Lois is great, by the way. We're gonna be talking about this.
And the Rise of Gilead.
Sure.
That's the main reason.
Wait.
No, the weather. Oh. It's the weather, then the Rise of Gilead. I thought you
were talking about they were making a prequel to Handmaid's Tale. I'm like, oh, I'm interested in that.
Oh, no, I mean in real life.
I understand.
I think they're making a sequel to it.
I don't. Anyway, about Moana, we've been elated by the positive response from the community. In the next many months, we are continuing to post staff positions for our studio. And with the talent we have here and the fact our team's first project together will be the Moana series, I can't imagine a better way to launch the studio, says Amir Anasrabadi, head of Walt Disney Animation Studios Vancouver. Schurer adds, getting to explore the story of Moana further is really exciting for us, particularly in this extremely cinematic, musical, long-form event series, and we can't wait to meet all the amazing artists who are joining Disney Animation Vancouver to help us bring Moana's next gorgeous journey to life.
Well, that's cool. So it's like a sequel movie type of thing? Or it's like a...
It's like the one they're doing for Princess and the Frog, too.
It's an extremely cinematic, musical, long-form event series.
Yeah.
Like Boba Fett.
Extremely cinematic.
Like WandaVision.
Musical.
Ali Carvalho better return as the voice of Moana, or I will be
What about Dwayne?
Annoyed.
Can they get Dwayne?
They can get both of them.
They have to at least get Moana.
They have to get Dwayne.
Yeah,
they will. I'm not watching it.
I mean, Moana is the titular character.
I will not be watching it without Dwayne.
If it's 6 hours, they can get Dwayne. What's he doing?
Everything. Yeah. He's very busy.
But it's not like he has to change characters for every role.
What's
that
he not
does.
Doing? That's exactly. What he's on the show tonight. He's our producer.
He could stay in his same Black Adam character probably and record.
He filmed that like 4 years ago, feels like.
I'm just saying.
I heard he's going to be in that new Star Wars short form series.
Hmm?
The one about the Jawas? It's going to be a Jawa. Because he's so short.
They're going to have to use those Lord of the Rings techniques.
Yeah. Do you think they can get Ian McKellen? He'll do anything, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you think.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't even doing that.
I thought that's what you were doing.
No, I wasn't doing it.
He got you.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, since first setting sail with Moana, Derek has lent his story artists and boarding talents to Jon Favreau's The Lion King, Raya and the Last Dragon, and Encanto for Disney. Prior to joining the studio, he worked on DreamWorks animation features, including How to Train Your Dragon, Megamind, Rise of the Guardians, and B-Movie, as well as the series Turbo Fast, The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and The LeBrons.
You didn't say Turbo Fast correctly.
Turbo Fast. It's not Disney. I don't have to say anything if I don't want to. I was going to cut out that whole sentence because it's not Disney. Anyway, Moana's coming back. Hooray!
Yay! Speaking of Disney animation, I don't remember if it was Variety or one of the other like big Hollywood publications today. They had a really good article with the president? The one from the Frozen documentary, like the one that the lady that directed Frozen 2 and Frozen. Mm. She's also the head of Walt Disney Animation.
Oh, I didn't know
that. But it was
like
a really good article about her. And apparently she's married to Alfred Molina.
Oh.
But they talk about like...
Who's Alfred Molina?
Doc Ock.
That's right.
But they talk about like how she like came up the ranks in Disney Animation and basically took over when John Lasseter stepped away. And how she, like her way of changing how Disney Animation like approaches films and probably why they've been really good.
Yeah.
For the last few years.
Nice.
So anyway, I'll try to find it. It was really interesting. Yeah. I should have shared it.
And that's it for Main Tweet USA.
Thanks, Will. That was a great trip down Main Tweet USA.
Today's topic is 10 questions about Marvel's Hawkeye on Disney Plus.
Thanks to a suggestion from Kevin the Baker, official baker of the podcast.
Yeah, really. We meant to do this, but the holidays happened right after Hawkeye. And
I think literally that day we were like, well, have we gone past it? Is it too late to do it? And then I think that's when Kevin was like, hey, you guys going to do a Hawkeye?
Yes.
Yes.
So then
I should tweet him back and say we are doing it.
Yeah, that's...
Apparently our listeners have demanded it.
Yes.
Our listener demanded it.
Mm-hmm. Well, statistically, he probably represents at least 150,000 people.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
From what, as I understand.
Yes. All right. The spoilers that I know of that will happen here will be Hawkeye, obviously, and Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm guessing probably anything else in the MCU up until then. And then just for safety... Harry Potter generally gets spoiled in a lot of these. Star Wars.
Lord of the Rings,
Star Trek.
Maybe, what's the one with Mockingjay?
Hunger Games.
She's got a bow and arrow. I was just thinking out loud.
Also, and probably not likely, it's probably not likely, but spoilers for the Netflix Marvel shows.
Yeah.
And the Muppets.
Michael and I just started watching The Expanse, so maybe... Maybe that. Yeah.
Well, you never know.
And I'm watching Sex and the City for the first time. So just, you know, nerd stuff.
What's that called again? What's the new one called again? And just like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But seriously, definitely Hawkeye and Spider-Man No Way Home. So,
but only possibly the Netflix Marvel shows.
Yeah. Definitely Spider-Man No Way Home, though.
Because
I'm about to say something.
All right. Spoilers in 3, 4, 5, 6, 3, 2, 1. Spoilers.
Spider-Man's not in this.
Ah.
Okay. Just so you know.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was a big thing. Yeah. People were like, ooh. It took place at Christmas. Is Spider-Man? No. Spider-Man is not showing up.
No.
They are not hiring Khaleesi to come be in Boba Fett.
No. And they, well, maybe. You don't know that.
But the mutants aren't going to be introduced.
You didn't say Star Wars spoilers, right? Huh? You didn't say Star Wars. Yeah, no, I think that's more likely than Spider-Man, a Sony property that they have to severely negotiate every time, showing up for a cameo.
Also, yeah. It would hurt your star of your show when you have someone like Spider-Man swoop in the season finale. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, of course people want Spider-Man more than Hawkeye.
And this man has been a jobber for the past 10 years.
Good job with the rest
that they've been trying to get over, and they just finally did. You put Spider-Man in that? No.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon. That's our review of Hawkeye.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. Hawkeye. Here we go. So we're going to start out. Let's talk about trick arrows. What were the best and worst trick arrows? And if you created a trick arrow to use in your everyday life, what would it do?
The best one was the Pym one.
The shrinking or the growing?
The growing one.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was great. And then I also enjoyed that they could have... Did we say the Eternals?
Yeah, we said everything in the MCU.
He could have just shot one at Arishem and then just punched him to shrink.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so fun.
I saw that meme this week.
I feel like there would be consequences, though.
Probably.
Like, just the mass of Arishem suddenly disappearing from the center of the Earth.
Well, couldn't they do it like they could shoot the baby?
Or not Arishem.
From the ocean. That's what
what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I like the Pym arrow because it lit up and it had Pym on it. That was a nice touch.
I like the electrocution one too.
Yeah.
I don't know what other ones were there. I don't remember.
There was a boomerang one, I think, right?
And there was like the bomb one. And there was like
grappling arrow.
Yeah, there was one with like
the grappling arrow is always solid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the one
with Batman.
Wasn't there one with like purple, like it turned?
Oh yeah, there was like a ooze arrow.
Yeah, it was like purple ooze or something.
Sludge.
I don't know, but I was trying to think of a worst one. I don't know. I think they're all kind of neat. I think they're
the
fun.
Most problematic one is, and like, granted, they killed a lot of people in this show.
Yeah, like Hawkeye don't play,
and he taught Kate Bishop to not play.
Just shoot him right through the heart.
Just murdering people left and right. But the most horrible murder was when they shrunk that van down.
Yeah.
And one, if the windows had been rolled down in that van, we know that their heads would explode because of the air. And they firmly established that you have to have a seal in both of the Ant-Mans. But two, it was taken away. It was taken away by an owl who definitely was going to eat those people.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they died from like they got the bends or something because they didn't have their helmet. And so they died before they got eaten by the owl.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how. Maybe I'm going to choose to believe that these Pym particles are like just temporary, and they'll balloon back up shortly. That's my headcanon.
So it would happen after the owl eats them?
Nah, you don't want gross. That. You don't want unpredictable expansion.
It's fine. That's my headcanon. So he's less of a murderer.
I think a cool trick arrow would be like where you shoot the arrow wherever it hits, it transports you there. Somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Through some portal or something, like a Doctor Strange portal or something.
Yeah.
It has a little Doctor Strange logo.
Or the Quantum Mania.
The Quantum Mania. It's all quantum these days.
And,
you know, any of the, like, always a good trick arrow is like, what, you know, same things Batman uses, like, so he's got the smoke.
Yeah.
And so you can get out of there. I always enjoy those.
Yeah.
Sleight of hand.
All right. What would you, if you were creating one just for your use in everyday life, what would it be?
Grappling hook.
Where are you grappling? What are you
doing? I don't know, but it seems like the most useful, like if you need an arrow to do something, because the arrows go like up and far.
I would like one to go get me more coffee somehow. I don't know how it would work.
It would be a boomerang robot arrow.
If I'm sitting on the couch, just And then it comes back very slowly with piping hot coffee.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I don't think an arrow is the best.
A Keurig arrow.
He asked, I answered, Michael, because it was very cold this morning.
Grappling hook could get your coffee. It just might be too fast.
It's going to get it all over the rug is what's going to happen.
Mine would be a choose a restaurant arrow. You pull the arrow, you shoot it, and it tells you where you're going to go for dinner that night.
Yeah, that'd be useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a waste of my
fancy It really arrow, is. My coffee one's the best.
Oh, no. A litter box cleaning arrow. That'd be nice.
I think we all just need a butler.
Or a trash taking outer one.
Michael doesn't, but you and I, we need a butler. Yeah. Or an intern. Intern applications are open for the Florida Project.
It's true.
You'll learn valuable life lessons.
You'll have to mic us and then hold a boom mic.
Yeah. When we go on location, for sure.
Yep.
And you gotta do a lot of stuff, but mainly coffee.
And boom mics.
Ooh, cold brew. They could have gone out and gotten us cold brew.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right. Clint Barton, Hawkeye, may not be retiring, but he definitely passed the torch to Kate Bishop. How do you feel about the new Hawkeye?
I was hesitant at first, but by the end, I... I'm more interested in seeing more of Kate Bishop than any more of Clint Barton.
Yeah.
And I don't want to discount Clint Barton because I have a newfound respect for Clint Barton as well as a character. But boy, I love her. And I think she's second for the show. We'll talk about that later of who I'm most interested in seeing more of. But she is such a fresh face and like such a fun energy. I really, really liked her character.
Yeah, I would agree. And if we don't see Clint Barton again, I hope it's because he finally got to like
retire
and be with his family and just be happy. Cause
I want his feet up. I don't want him to have to like put ice on his knees and everything.
Yeah. Anymore.
You've done enough, buddy.
Yeah.
But that being said, if he's in another season of Hawkeye, I won't be upset about it.
Yeah. I think he could be like
a will not watch
an advisor on the phone. He could do a cameo or two.
He could be her Alfred.
Yeah. Or he could be her Mockingbird.
Yeah.
From this.
Yeah.
Clint's wife was.
Yeah.
But Haley Steinfeld, she was
I really
great.
Thought you were talking about Mockingjay again. Oh, no. It's like, wait, I don't get it. He is tribute.
But yeah, Haley Steinfeld's great.
She was absolutely phenomenal. I was just the energy she had. It was great. It was such a breath of fresh air.
She's like that in everything I've seen her in. So
a lot of the characters in phase, whatever phase we're in now.
Four.
Great energy. Awkwafina, Shang-Chi. Like, it's fun stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like, Yelena. I know we'll talk about her later, but man.
Definitely a breath of fresh air. And I feel kind of like they did...
Loki Gator.
Yeah. They did give Hawkeye a lot more development starting in Ultron.
Yeah.
But he just never... People just really never clicked with him until
this. No. Well, maybe until some people did, but yeah, like, you know, it's... This was... Everybody likes him now.
Yeah.
You know?
And apparently... Also, it was kind of the same in the comics where, you know, Hawkeye was just kind of around. First of all, the Avengers were way the B team anyway, the C or the D team of Marvel. But then Hawkeye was kind of around.
Who would be the B team then?
Huh?
Who would be the B team behind the X-Men?
You got your X-Men, Spider-Man.
Oh, I was just thinking of teams.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Spider-Man.
I didn't know if there were other. Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Yeah. Others.
Sure.
Got so it. C team.
Continue. Yeah.
Or C tier.
There you go. I was thinking teams. That's all.
Yeah. But, and then really people didn't really start liking him until this run of comics that,
that person did. I don't know.
It's not Hickman. Who was it?
I don't know. I'm no nerd, guys. Although I did explain the entire Death of Superman saga to Michael before he went and picked up dinner.
But it was apparently kind of similar with until like people didn't really care about Hawkeye. He was kind of a C person on the C team of the Avengers until the Fraction and AHA comics that were this was based off of came out. And then people really started liking Hawkeye more. And I think that happened here.
I think it's interesting, too, that the first two Avengers introduced that didn't have their own movie to introduce them were Hawkeye and Black Widow, and they both got kind of like their best parts in Phase 4 because Black Widow got her movie and then Hawkeye got this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we got our second date with Florence Pugh's Black Widow, Yelena Romanoff.
And Belova. It was
a, huh?
Belova.
Oh. Oh. But they're sisters, but not really. Yelena Belova.
They are sisters. How dare you?
Absolutely delightful. What were your favorite Yelena moments?
It was real to me.
Yeah.
Two things. The elevator Christmas tree that when they were in the elevator in the last episode. Yes. That's very childish. When Kate did all those. And the
no, the bet was when Kate slapped her and she goes, "What was that?"
And the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The when Kate was like, "Well, if you wanted me dead, I would already." Yeah, absolutely. When you walked in that door.
Why do you keep saying my full name?
You wouldn't have even have gotten to close the door.
I also really liked her her POV of the blip.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. I really liked that.
Like,
too.
That was something. Each time we've seen like the blip now, it's kind of slight. Like, we see it from a different perspective, which has been kind of
this
cool.
One was especially tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the first one we saw was.
She wanted to know where Natasha was.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, she had just reconnected.
It's so sad.
She was waking up widows.
You know what? I really like that movie. It's a shame. Yeah. You know, it doesn't. People are on the internet. People are not loving it as much, and I don't know why. I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Michael and I were talking about this that, we may be getting into a situation where like the movies have gotten so big that people are like, oh, it's. You know, everything doesn't have to be world-ending stakes and everything doesn't have to be in-game. But then when you do a smaller movie like this, like Black Widow, then they're like, oh, that's nothing really happened. It was nothing kind of movie.
Yeah, they compare everything to an Avengers movie now.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we're getting away from that a little bit.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least the Marvel shows are helping with that.
Yeah, for
sure.
Even
though, you know, Scarlet Witch almost destroyed the world. Loki and Miss Loki tried to start the multiversal of madness. Anyway, there are things.
That's true. Yeah.
But Falcon and Winter Soldier, they worked on a boat. Yeah. I love everything. One of those Reddit posts where they're like, well, all this Eternals and Shang-Chi and all this. We're working on the boat. Yes.
Busy.
Busy. What else? Like I said, the entire macaroni and cheese scene was great. And also her final scene with Clint was well done and well written, I thought.
It was a little Martha.
I don't know. It was better than Martha. And you know what? I didn't hate Martha either, for the record.
Although I guess she whistled first. She did the song first as like a...
Yeah.
Natasha, I'm killing this guy for you.
Yeah.
And then he did the whistle back.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I liked it.
I thought that he did the whistle first.
No, that would have been a little...
It would have been more of a Martha moment if he just randomly whistled something. Like the fact that he knew the whistle because he was that close to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was different. Like, it would have been like if Superman had been, or if Batman's Martha had actually been Superman's mom too. Like,
yeah,
that would have been a big twist. Actually, and we've talked about this on this show 5 years ago or whatever. There are times I forgot that both of their mothers' names were Martha.
I know.
Yeah,
you know what? It's not as bad as people make it up.
No, it's not. Well, nothing is really.
Well,
nothing in entertainment is really.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I will say I'm much more excited about this Hawkeye Black Widow dynamic than the previous Hawkeye Black Widow dynamic. And I liked both Jeremy Renner and ScarJo. But like Will said earlier, they just seem like they're having a great time.
Yeah, I think we could have. It's a shame they didn't start these shows earlier, because they would have made a good show, a Disney Plus show,
like
4 or 5 years ago, too.
Yeah.
Renner and Scarlett. Yeah, I think that would have been really. I think every time we saw them on screen, together, they're
best friends.
They're just best friends.
But also, even anytime either of them talked about the other person.
Yeah, there was just such really love in their voices and everything. And it was just, I do another one. I don't care. Do flashbacks in the next Hawkeye series. I don't care. Like, if they do a team up between the two of them, I literally am looking forward to that more than maybe anything else in the MCU right now. I want more Yelena more than anything else.
Yeah.
And take that, alligator Loki.
I'm sure you'll get more Yelena.
Oh, and Pizza Dog.
Yeah, Pizza Dog.
Did they name him? I forget. Did they name him at the end?
Lucky, I think so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Pizza Dog.
They called him Pizza Dog at some point, yeah, but they named him at
Pizza
the end.
Pizza Dog's better. Eagly is a great name.
Eagly.
Eagly. All right. In the show, Hawkeye and Kate take a lot of damage, and cuts and scars don't miraculously heal by the next episode. Realistically, how long do you think a regular Hawkeye or Black Widow could hang with the Avengers?
So, first of all, I really enjoyed that they kept those cuts and band-aids on, because it really let you know how little amount of time was passing in this show. Yep. And I really, really liked that aspect.
But and it showed them like icing their knees and like that. That was the first time they really did that, was in the Fraction comics as well.
That's
like
great. The episode where he's just talking about everything he has to do now just to function. I mean, man.
Yeah.
And the hearing loss.
Aid. Yeah, when they showed like, why do you have a hearing aid? And they just did like a montage of explosions. Like,
oh, yeah. It's a miracle he's alive.
Yeah. Right. I think you got 5 years maybe before you have to go on light duty.
Yeah, but realistically, how long could they hang? It depends which Avenger, but most Avengers could kill them in a snap.
Oh, no. I mean, like, as a part of the team.
Not even 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe Black Widow, because she's a little bit, she can jump around more and dodge.
I don't know. Those Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they got that same training.
Yeah.
It was just less brutal, probably.
Yeah, but
slightly less brutal.
Slightly. Well, yeah. They knock people out and Black Widows break their necks, I suppose.
I don't know. Hawkeye has a bow and arrow. That's meant to kill people. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a miracle either of them lasted as long as they did, especially in in The Avengers.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it was one of the greatest scenes in movie, like superhero movie ever, you know, the Avengers, but it's like, oh man, it's Cap and Black Widow and Hawkeye. Uh-oh. Maybe keep the Hulk down there with them, you know, something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Thor put up a shield or something. These are just the humans.
Yeah.
And even Cap can get shot, you know, like, so. But I there's no way they would have lasted as long as they actually did. Especially Hawkeye. Poor Hawkeye. I feel bad for him.
All right. Rogers, the musical. Discuss.
I loved it so much.
Yeah. You like it when they, so the after credits at the end of the show was the full scene.
Mm-hmm.
What we saw in the first episode was just a clip of Rogers, the musical. Did you like it more when you saw the full scene, or did you like just the tease better?
I like seeing the whole scene because I remember after seeing the tease of it, I was like, oh, I hope they come back to, like, I hope we see more of this later in the show, and we really didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking we might see like another scene from the musical, not this, like, I wasn't thinking that they would show the whole number from the beginning or whatever that part was. But yeah, I was really happy that they used their after credits for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that they were like, an Ant-Man, he wasn't even there.
Right.
I loved the scene in the theater, too, because, you know, he was actually having some flashbacks.
Yeah.
Too. Like, that was great, especially about Natasha.
I like the idea of it, that they made a musical.
Well, I love how, I think we disagree on this, Jason. We talked about this at one point. I like how bad it is, that it's entertaining to me.
Yeah.
And you just thought it was bad. Kind of.
Yeah, I thought it was bad and not in a fun way.
The
whole scene, like just the clip that we saw in the show, I thought that was perfect. But I thought when they gave it more, I was like, they lose the joke real quick.
So
to me,
the only reason I disagree with it mainly is because when I ran that 10K a few weeks ago, I forgot I had this on my playlist and I was like, this is hilarious. Especially how long it goes.
Yeah.
Because they do a full song.
Yeah.
And it's not good. And the rhymes are even kind of bad at times. And it's like self-referential. There's one point where it's like, we love you now, but we'll be mad at you later for all this damage, basically, that you've caused, that kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was hilarious. I loved the surprise at the end. And I'm a little irritated with some Marvel people who've hated it and wanted something else for the postcard. I'm like, oh, that was funny. They did a whole thing for you. That was cute.
I also like, for an out of universe reason, all the people that made that, I'm glad they released the whole thing instead of just like,
yeah,
just little clips, because
that was definitely,
they went all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like at least a couple of days worth of shooting and probably a week of rehearsals. And
I'm pretty sure it was the Fox Theater here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah. Was it?
I bet it was.
The bathroom absolutely was when he went to the bathroom. Yep.
Was it?
So that makes you think the theater was, but they could have done the theater somewhere else.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah. Let's go see that bathroom scene.
I recognize the tall urinals.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
All right. With the introduction of Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin in Hawkeye and Charlie Cox's Matt Murdock in Spider-Man No Way Home, there's a raging debate as to whether the Netflix shows are now canon in the MCU. What do you think?
Raging?
Raging.
No. I think they're sort of canon.
Yeah,
at best.
The main thing people point to is Vincent D'Onofrio said, I'm playing the same character.
Yeah, but that's just Vincent D'Onofrio saying that.
And he also could have said it. And then I think he even hedged after that. And he was like, wow. I mean, I think it is.
What do I know?
And I talked to some people and they thought it was too. But he was really saying I was playing him the same way.
Yeah.
Right.
Feige didn't say so.
No. And he got way more strength too in this one, didn't he? Than in the shows?
I don't think so.
He got hit by a car and walked away.
Yeah, but he has armor.
He wasn't, in the show, he wasn't.
He beat the crap out of Daredevil a few times.
You didn't
Daredevil's
see him,
a great fighter.
You didn't see him getting hurt a lot in the show.
Yeah.
You saw him hurting other people more.
Yeah.
So it's hard. I don't really know if there's a good comparison of getting hit by a car.
Well, he's got that rage too, like in the show. Like he is scary.
Yeah.
Like, ho hum, ho hum. He crushed your head.
Yeah. You
know, like, don't cross him.
I personally, unless Kevin Feige says it's canon or whatever, or part of the MCU, then they're just the same actors playing the same characters, but the shows didn't exist in this universe.
Because those actors playing those characters, I think that they're, like, those would be kind of hard to recast, I think.
Yeah.
Especially those two.
Especially Kingpin now, because he did such a great job at it.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, everybody kind of loved the Daredevil show. It petered out a little bit, but like that was why people started watching those Netflix Marvel. Daredevil, it was like a quiet hit. If Daredevil came out today, it would be a massive hit.
Apparently,
it is again. Yeah, I saw that. I started watching it again. It's really good.
Maybe they'll come back to season four.
It's really well made. I petered out like halfway through season two. I went through season one really quickly after No Way Home. But season one is really, really good. And I remember like, God, this was good.
Yeah.
Like back then. Like, so
I'd like for them to not be canon, or if they are, then like in a multiverse type of situation. And that's fine.
I agree with that.
But what I would like to see.
He's a really great lawyer.
Yeah. If Disney wants to do Daredevil, I would like to see them do Daredevil.
I agree.
Yeah.
And not be tied down.
That's the problem. They had too much backstory now in those shows, because there were three seasons of Daredevil, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. And then the Defenders and Jessica Jones and Iron Fist
and Luke Cage.
And they were all in the same mini universe. And we don't need to be beholden to all that, especially because some of it wasn't very good.
Yeah. If one of them is canon, then they technically all are, because they all kind of existed. They crossed shows and stuff, and
and they, you know, they can get around it. Like comics have been for 100 years. Like the status quo is the status quo until somebody comes along, till a new writer comes along and is like, oh well, I'm going to change Spider-Man to blah 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 blah.
Sure.
Like this thing that happened in the past. Oh, it actually happened this way or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think, MCU fan people on the internet like would just flip out if it's not like they're kind of it kind of has a like a Star Trek feel for continuity with the MCU.
Yeah, but they're still getting mainstream too, so they don't really they're not playing to the hardcores anymore.
Yeah,
they want, like, my dad has watched part of some of these shows and he doesn't know anything about anything.
Yeah,
so like, oh, what's this new show on Disney Plus? Tell me about Hawkeye. I'm like, oh, you'll like Hawkeye. It's good.
Yeah,
you don't need to know an insane amount of backstory or anything. Right.
Yeah, that is.
What about
nice.
Loki? I don't know about that.
It's a little harder.
If you were building a Hawkeye based attraction at Avengers Campus in Disney's California Adventure, what would it be?
Zip lines.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then zip lines. So that it couldn't be at Disney's California Adventure. We'd have to put it in Shanghai, where they have those like crazy rope lines and all this stuff. Like you can do like zip lines and shoot arrows up, and like, you know, it's all nice, but you can shoot stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where the rules and laws are a little lax.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I like a kind of a virtual-ish environment. Maybe like that Spider-Man ride at Universal, where you get to try out different trick arrows and they do stuff in the environment.
Mm.
So like, it's a little basic. I'm shooting arrows, but you know, I think it would be cool to shoot the PEM grow arrow or the shrink arrow or a boomerang arrow or whatever, and it comes and it works.
Yeah.
I like both of those. But I don't, okay, I don't have a better one. Yeah.
Which super-powered Avenger, not suit or tech-based, do you think all of the Hawkeyes and all of the Black Widows could team up to take out?
I don't care, but I just want to see all four of them in the same show.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So it has to be an Avenger that turns bad or something?
No.
Okay.
Just like, you know, a battle world type of situation where...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not Hulk. They can't take Hulk down.
No.
It's always a little unbelievable. You really can't
kill Hulk.
No, Iron Man tried. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, because like, I think the more damage he takes, the more anger he gets and angrier. The stronger he gets.
I'm the same way, you know? It happens to me. I don't know. They could definitely take out Cap. I mean, he's super powered, but not an insane amount.
Yeah, I think Cap's the only one. Because everybody else starts to get into...
Probably Shang-Chi, but he's not really super-powered.
He's not super-powered. He just really knows tech. Kung Fu.
His dragon is.
That's not his dragon.
I don't remember the dragon was dumb.
That's a dragon from his mom's hometown.
He didn't take the dragon home with him? Dragon. Is that what we're saying?
No. It's,
no.
Stay it in. And...
It's not hanging out in the sewers in New York or the subway tunnels?
It's a water dragon, number one.
Yeah, that's like a dog at your mom's childhood friend's house.
Well, it could be out in the Hudson Bay or something. You know? Wait, that's in Canada. Never mind.
So if you think about the major Avengers, your Captain Marvel.
Nope.
Your Doctor Strange. Eventually your Wanda.
They might be able to take Strange. You just got to knock him out.
Yeah.
They could take like Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Absolutely. Well, he's not super powered.
Yeah, he's not super powered.
They could take out Bucky, but it's the same thing as...
Yeah, I think Bucky Cap. And Cap are the only ones.
I think I agree with that.
Because they're the, you know, they're the lowest. Ant-Man.
I don't think they could take...
He's not... It's a suit tech-based. Huh? That's what the caveat was. It can't be suit or tech-based.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think Cap or Bucky. I think that's about it. Because, again, they're just still humans. They're just super-powered humans.
Yeah.
And not like the Hulk, which is a Hulk.
Yeah.
And not a god.
And they're not Batmans.
No, they're not. Well, I don't know. The Black Widows are probably as good as Batman.
Fighting-wise, but not...
What, detective-wise?
No, making, like, gadgets to neutralize... Like, Batman
has files
on everybody on how to kill them all.
But Hawkeye can do the gadgets. We've already seen that. He was tinkering with stuff. Yeah. He did it.
And those shield people, there.
Exactly.
They're shady.
They are. And that is also not canon.
What?
Shield, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of the movie.
That will just not be canon for spite.
I don't know. Well, yeah. But they made another Mockingbird, so that's officially, you know.
All right. If society breaks down tomorrow and you can choose between Black Widow or Hawkeye's equipment, but not training, it's literally you as you exist tomorrow morning when you wake up, what would you choose in your quest to survive?
I think it's a no-brainer. It can't be Hawkeye. I would miss all the time. I'm not a good archer.
Yeah, but if you got good tech in it, though, it can really make up for stuff.
I don't know.
Black Widow is all
I close wouldn't quarters. Even know how to do the like that collapsible bow thing he has. I wouldn't know how to get it to go back out.
It's like a stroller.
See, it's amazing how these people know how to do it. I would just now see with Black Widow's her little electrocution thing. You press a button. The Widow's Bite.
I would go with Hawkeye because I would look better in his uniform versus Black Widow.
Oh, you look good in purple.
Yeah.
I didn't like the purple uniform for the record.
Oh, I loved it.
I thought it was fine. Awesome. I didn't have anything really against it, but he looked cooler in black, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, for Kate, fantastic.
Yeah, I liked it.
Oh, my gosh. I loved everything about it. I did the story behind it. I'm a big fan of with the cosplayers and the LARPers.
Yeah, I love the LARPers.
I mean, there was a lot to be said for the minor characters in this show that only were there a little bit. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at what Jack.
Jack Duquesne.
Oh my God, Jack. Oh my God.
Yeah. I just sword fetish.
I love that he wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah, I know.
He's just a rich dude who likes swords.
And rich guys are just kind of jerks, but he wasn't even a jerk.
Uh-huh.
My time to shine.
Again. Man on trial for murder. You know, who was just arrested for murdering someone, is just standing out in the courtyard in front of his building, killing people with swords.
Yep. You know what? Just another thing just crossed my mind. When the Rockefeller tree fell down, that was shocking to me.
That
was shocking.
Yeah.
Also looked real.
It did look real.
Yeah.
And then in those, like we talked about, in those behind this, like these people that delve into the, like, where's Spider-Man? He ain't coming.
He's busy.
But it's at Christmas.
He ain't there.
It's Christmas all around the world.
Yeah, it's
the same time.
It's 4 days leading up to Christmas. Spider-Man happened on day 6.
Yeah.
There you go.
It takes them a long time to get those giant trees down from buildings and such.
Does it, I assume?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I saw a Christmas tree on the way home today.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What was the name? Were they the Tracksuit Mafia? Was that their name?
Yeah.
They were good, too.
Bros.
I want to give them some credit. They were good henchmen.
They were good henchmen.
I enjoyed them. I really,
you know who I didn't care much about? Echo and Kazi.
Not really, but no. I think Echo.
I
think if we see more, it'll be better.
I hope so.
Although I'm a little concerned with my laziness. You got to watch the screen the whole time to see what she's saying in the new in her show.
I like that
I
like that they dipped in and out of the subtitles.
You were
just catching the stuff that she was catching.
Mm-hmm. I like her backstory.
So I thought that was cool.
We probably could have done without her in this show.
Yeah,
it felt just like a setup.
Yeah,
for hers. And I don't know. Kazi seemed kind of interesting, but I felt like a lot of his stuff might have been cut. I don't know. Felt like there was more there.
He was a lot.
Apparently it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He was a lot more menacing assassin in the comics.
Okay.
Yeah.
He had like a white.
It feels
face
like there was a lot of stuff cut out of this. Like ideas.
Not as
that
much
were,
as Cap, as Captain America and Winter Soldier.
Stuff that was like, you know, they hinted at it and then it never paid.
Yeah. There's already deleted scenes online, which I guess there'll be more deleted scenes released when we get to see the Hawkeye assembled.
Yeah.
Which I guess the deleted scenes came from other Disney Pluses. But there's like one where you see Eleanor meeting Kingpin for the first time and like when her husband dies. Like that was cut off or cut out. And I forget some other ones, but there is definitely deleted material that maybe not integral seemed important.
Yeah.
Or somewhat important.
Yeah. I think there's a lot more to be told in that story too. Probably I bet we'll see some more in Echo. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
But there was some plot that was cut out, but there was so much left. I just love the overall tone of it, especially the Christmas.
Absolutely.
I mean, just fantastic.
It was also a COVID production, so we don't know how that might have affected. They may not have been able to finish filming certain plot lines, so they just cut them out or something. Who knows?
Yeah, makes sense.
I like that they use the same family from the Avengers movies for the Bartons, the same kids. Yeah.
And one of them's the Russo kid, right?
Yeah, the girl.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always love seeing Linda Cardellini. So if she's Mockingbird or whatever and gets to do stuff, that'd be awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although that doesn't bode well for Hawkeye getting to put his feet up like our wish is.
Well, maybe he can stay home with the kids and she can go out and do some missions.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
She can go with Yelena and Kate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As like their mentor. That'd be nice. We're writing it for you, Disney Plus.
She can be a special advisor to the new Avengers.
Oh.
The West Coast Avengers.
Oh, this is fantastic.
The Young Avengers.
Oh.
Are we getting a series where we see where Clint and her met and they're on some mission and it's just more backstory for him, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm less interested in that.
They did Samuel L. Jackson in that de-aging makeup for a whole movie.
And it was great.
Yeah. All right. And finally, best thing ever or garbage?
Oh, garbage. I hated it. No, I loved it. And I loved everything about the Christmas of it all, especially, and how short of a story it was, like time-wise and everything.
Yeah.
And like he wants to get home for Christmas and there's a crunch and that night they were like bonding over Christmas movies and stuff. That was lovely. Best thing ever.
Yeah.
It's close to being the best Disney Plus show.
Yeah, I was just gonna say best thing ever, and It's the one that was announced that I was least interested in. And as of right now, it's my favorite of the released Disney Plus shows.
Yeah.
I'm still a WandaVision man, but yeah, best thing ever. It was very good and made you care about Hawkeye.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Loved it.
Cool. All right. That's it for us. If you want to visit us online, you could do so at tfppodcast.com. We're on Instagram and Reddit at /tfppodcast. We're on Twitter at @tfp_podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. Check out shop.tfppodcast.com and sign up to support the show at patreon.com/tfppodcast. That's all I got. Anything else?
Quiver in anticipation for the next Hawkeye show.
You make my liver quiver.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon.
I don't like the way you said titular.
I was trying to keep myself from laughing, so titular. I was just trying to get through it quickly.
Oh, it was funny. I've always said titular.
It is titular.
Okay, just checking. I don't know if there's a new way to say it.
Like,
I've been trying to do something with Bumblebee on kids and babies or something, but I got nothing.
Mumblebee?
Well, that's good.
Bumble Binky.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. Yeah.